pretty cool. That's a picture of a little hotel down in Jamaica where we're going to be this coming summer. You know, actually, that's the we actually moved because that property got purchased and we're moving to another in the Hilton, Montego Bay. That's pretty cool. Anybody been to Jamaica? You want to go?
Yes.
So do I. Oh, it's going to be awesome, man. But I'm going to go with some fun people. I just hope you're fun. Steel drums, you know, doing the whole. Last weekend, when we were in St. Louis, we did our regional, and we had a Friday night event, like you guys kind of have events, you know. But we had our Jam in Jamaica party, so everybody dressed up as a Jam in Jamaica karaoke party. We had a DJ, steel drums, his whole. Go on Facebook and you'll probably pull up some of the stuff. Some of it we couldn't put on Facebook. Now I forgot what the heck where in the heck I'm at. We're going to cover this a second, okay? Here, wait a minute. I know better. You just taught me something. Am I right? It's not working on that? Okay. Well, a lot of my story talk, a lot of my training really follows the story, okay? So you kind of understand a little bit. As most of you know, some of you came a little bit late. My background is in the car business for 17 and a half, way too long years, right? Working 80 hours a week. And, you know, my aha moment to get out of that business, not only because I had gone through a divorce, ended up with custody and my daughter being a single parent, but my best friend, who was the general manager of the store, had a heart attack on the showroom floor. That was my, you know, my moment, okay? And we all have moments in our life where we're at that deciding moment saying, that's going to be me in 5 years. Anybody done anything like that before? You know, if I don't do something different than what I'm doing right now, I'm going to be doing the same thing in 5 years. You follow me? Okay. So when my friend had a heart attack on the showroom floor, almost died, you know, I'm saying, this is stupid. I'm out of here. Okay. And that's when I did a lot of praying. Again, prayers do get answered, right? And I was having lunch with my buddies, and that's when one of his friends came over to our table and gave us both an audio cassette. You understand that part, right? Okay. So here's what happened. I signed up March of 1996. Now, here's some training in my story, okay? Here's what I did. I knew what to do in the network marketing arena. I knew I had to make a list of people to share this information with, right? So I made my list of 100 people. And I got this from my previous experience in the network marketing industry. And I'll give you some information on that, where I came up with this information, all right? My very first introduction into network marketing was in 1991, okay? And a friend of mine named Wally always invited me to go to this. He knew I was looking for a way out of the car business, right? But he was always inviting me to go to this meeting. And he says it's a multi-level marketing meeting on this really cool vitamin and da-da-da-da-da-da. And I said, Wally, I don't want anything to do with that multi-level marketing stuff. I want something real that I can sink my teeth into, right? Well, listen, after about the 20th time of Wally inviting me to go to this meeting, I finally said, Wally, if you'll shut up and never ask me again, I'll go. Right? So Monday night I went, you know. And it was a great presentation. It was a nutritional company. A guy named Jimmy Kosser, who is still one of the top, you know, network marketers around, was doing the presentation. Very professional. Everybody was dressed up, you know, with ties and suits. And I mean, they did a great compensation plan. And I mean, they made it real, right? I bought my $500 worth of vitamins that night. Anybody been there besides me, right? Anyway, so Jimmy came over to my house. We played golf that Saturday morning in the afternoon. He came over and I said, I don't know anything about how to do this. Would you teach me? And he's a pro, right? He says, here's the first thing that you need to do. And this is the same thing in this business, okay? You need to make a list of 100 people. You got to write down a list of 100 people to get started. What'd I say? How many people? 100. Okay. And I said, I don't know 100 people. He said, yes, you do. You know 2,000 people. I said, no, I don't. He said, yes, you do. He said, think about it. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to do what we call a mind jogger, okay? We're going to start with the alphabet. We're going to start with A's. How many people do you know that is an accountant, right? An actor. It goes all the way. I think by the time we got to the T's, I had 100 people's names filled out, right? Does that make sense? Okay. So the mind jogger really helped me with that. So, okay, now that I made my list, now what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to pick out the top 10 people that you know, you have kind of a warm, fuzzy feeling with, and we're going to call them right now. I said, right now? He says, yeah, here's what you're going to say. You want to introduce me. I'm coming down to this valley, to the Phoenix Valley. I'm opening up a business, and I'm looking for some sharp people that like to help me market our products. It's that simple. He says, can you do that? I said, yeah, I think so. Anyway, so my first person I called my daughter's teacher. Her name was Teresa. And Teresa I had met 2 weeks prior at a PTA meeting, you know. And we had talked. She was talking about how she loved teaching. That was her passion. But just, you know, the car's out there, it is broken down. She doesn't have the money to fix it, all this other stuff. Bottom line is, so I call her up. Hey, Teresa, you know, this is Ross. This is Avalon's dad. We met at PTA, and you told me, you know, a couple of weeks ago that you were really looking for maybe an extra income stream or something. Don't know if you'd be interested or not, but I have a friend of mine that's here from Washington, state of Washington, and he's opening up a business here in the valley and is looking for some pretty sharp people, and I don't know if you'd be interested in it, but I'd like to introduce you to him. You got a minute? He says, she goes, yeah, sure. Okay, what'd I do? I asked a simple question. And I built her up. I said, he's looking for some really sharp people. You're one of the sharpest people that I know. Okay, so would you mind saying hi to him? That's when I handed the phone to my friend Jimmy, right? Jimmy at that time says, hey, Teresa, nice to meet you. You know, again, here's what he did. He identified me. He said, you know, Ross really told me a lot of great things about you, told me how sharp you really are, you know. And we're building a huge organizational business in the valley here. And I'm looking for, you know, that sharp person. And I don't know if you're it or not, but I'd like to send you a tape. That explains what we're doing. Well, she goes, well, what is it? Well, we have a nutritional product that we're marketing that's really powerful. It's all new natural products and stuff like that. But I really want to send you this tape that explains it better than I can. Would you give me your address and I'll send it to you? Done. Does that make sense? Okay. Guess what? You guys probably heard this. Goes back a long time. It was called a tape by Dr. Wallach called Dead Doctors Don't Lie. You ever heard that one? Okay, awesome tape, right? So he sent her the tape. She's all excited. She's, this is awesome, man. She goes, I'm in, right? Bottom line is, you know, he says, he invites her to a next thing. I'm going to be back down in the valley in 2 weeks, okay? I'm doing a business presentation, okay? And you're welcome to bring some other friends of yours, right? So guess what? We ended up with 60 people in a room like this, okay, that were on my list. Not on my list, but maybe five of them were on my list. The rest of them were on other people's list. Is it any different than this? It's not. Guess what? He went through the presentation. Over 50% of them bought their $500 worth of vitamins, you know. And what can I say? The rest is history, right? But that's what taught me right there. So a year and a half goes by, and I really, really, we hit it. Big time. You know, my partner and I mean, we made over $100,000 that first year in the nutritional field, which is extremely hard to do because you only get 5%, and then you go to 6 levels deep, you get 10%. You buy your $1,000 worth of product every single month. You know, it's a cycle, you know. Anyway, that company got shut down by the government, okay, because it had a nutritional product that was mostly ephedra, which was against the law, right? So anyway, tried a few more. They never made it anyway. So I learned a lot of great lessons, okay? Number one is don't go to work for a company that's a startup, because they're not startups. They're really in the basement. Yeah, I mean, most of them don't get out of the basement. Does that make sense? Okay? So be very careful and choosy, you know, when you're looking for a company to get involved in, all right? That's one of the things I looked at when that guy gave me the tape. I did some research on prepaid legal services at that time and found out he had everything that I was looking for. I was looking for a company that had a service that I didn't have to keep the product on hand, like I did all the vitamins, because I had to buy $1,000 for every single month. I didn't have to have an automatic inventory every single month. I could only buy one membership. That was pretty cool, right? It's something that offered a real true service that everybody could afford. Hey, $26 a month, Anybody can afford that, right? Another company that had been around for more than 10 years, and that company, when I looked at it, had been around for 24 years, pretty awesome, and had a product that was really at the cutting edge of what's going to take place in the United States. That's what I looked for, and that's what we have today with our program, right? So that's when I said, you know, this is it. This is really the one, and I'm really going to take off. So I signed up March 6, 1996, right? And I made my list of people, all right? Made my 100 list, and here's what I did. For the next 90 days while I'm still working, okay, I called all 100 people in 90 days. Guess what? I'm on the phone, and I'm telling them how great this product is, but the company, you can make so darn much money. You know what I'm talking about? Guess what? At the end of 90 days after I talked to all 100 people, guess how many people I recruited? Anybody? Three. Three out of 100. I quit. I'm done. I quit. I'm too good for this. I've always been number one or two in the car business. My ego's way out there, so it's totally deflated now. Three people out of 100, give me a break. You know, there's something wrong with this company. It's not me. You ever been there before? Yeah, you know, it's not me. It's the company, right? So I quit. I mean, I'm done, and I'm looking for other stuff. And I hear this advertisement on the radio the following week. There was this entrepreneur expo going on at the convention center in downtown San Diego, 1996. All right, and I'm off that weekend. I'm saying, you know, my best friend's you know, general manager got a heart attack. I'm getting out of this. I got to find something I can really sink my teeth into, you know. So I drive over to San Diego. I go to the convention center. There's 350 different companies from Avon to you know, all the stuff, you know, all the nutritionals, all the lotions and potions, you know, the vacuum sweepers, home business, whatever. I ran across a guy that had a prepaid legal booth. All right. I went up and introduced myself to him, and I told him my story, you know. And he goes, well, son, it's too bad that you quit. He goes, because I get paid off stuff I wrote 14 years ago. Hey, when he said that, the light went on, right? I said, really? 14 years old, well, tell me your story. He goes, look, I started my prepaid legal business in 1981, okay? He says, I was in the insurance industry. I lived in Chicago, but I retired in 1986, and I moved down here. And if I work more than 5 hours a week doing my prepaid legal business, I'm working way too much because I'm retired. I don't want to work very much. I said, really? I said, well, what'd you make last month? And he wouldn't tell me. And it took me three or four times to ask him, come on, tell me what you made last month. I mean, 14 years, you must be doing extremely well because, I mean, look at Dave Savula. He's only been in for 4 or 5 years. The guy's making $1 million a year. He goes, look, I don't do that 5 hours a week. I don't want to work that hard. But here's a copy of my check. So he shows me a copy of his check. It was like $5,600 and some change. That was then when the compensation was half of what it is today. I understand that, okay? So here's a guy, I'm thinking, here's a guy living in San Diego, retired, making between $5,000 and $6,000 a month with his social, with his other retirement, probably bringing in 10 or 12. I'm in. The light went on again. I said, what do I have to do to learn how to do this business and to do it right? Here's what he said. First of all, son, you need to learn to shut up. That's it. Shut up. All right. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, think about it. The guy who recruited you, how to recruit you? I said, he gave me a tape. He goes, what's the matter? Are you too good to give out tapes? He says, look at it. You already told me you've never been to a meeting. You've never been to a training, right? You did a lot of research. You thought you knew it all, right? I said, yeah. He says, you got to understand this, okay? You don't know nothing, first of all. And your credibility is in the gutter because you're a car salesman, okay? Number two. But I want you to understand this. He says, the guy who gave you the tape, I mean, he didn't have to know all you know, first of all. And no matter how good you get at the presentation, the person that you're doing the presentation for is thinking in the back of their head that they have to be as good as you, right? But if you can show them how to do the presentation without opening your mouth on a tape, at that time a cassette, so they can listen to it, all right? Or a video, which they also have, or you can take them to a big event, you know? Guess what? They can get it. You don't have to say a word. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? He says, that means this can be duplicatable. I said, well, that makes a lot of sense. I said, what else do I need to learn how to do? He says, you got to go to a meeting, you got to go to a training. I said, you know what, there's no meetings in Phoenix, there's no trainings in Phoenix. He says, well, you're really fortunate because next weekend in Anaheim, California, they have two trainings. They have a guy named Mark Riches, okay, who made $119,000 his first year in the business just marketing this product as a group employee benefit to companies. I said, really? I didn't know they did that. Yeah, employee benefit. And he says, yeah, if you go, you'll get it. And he said, then the following day, they have what they call a Super Saturday, like you guys are here, right? And they're going to have some of the top income earners. Dave Savula is going to be there. Mr. Stonecipher, the founder of the company, is going to be there. And if you go, they're going to teach you how to do the network marketing side. So there's two sides to this coin. He says, you know, there's the B2B, the business, you know, the group side. We didn't have small business at that time. And we have the networking side. If you go, it's going to cost you $99 to go to the training for the group by Mark Riches, and you'll get it, okay? And then the following day, you can go to the networking side with the rest of the guys, and they're going to teach you how to network, okay? I said, man, I don't know if I can do that. I'm on that weekend, you know? But fortunately, I traded my weekends off with my partner because we every other weekend we had off, and I made the right decision, thank you, Lord, to go, okay? I went. All Friday, I got it, and I'm so darn excited. So Saturday, I get up to go to the Saturday event. I walk in the front door, and there's my friend that I was in network marketing nutritional business before in Phoenix, Arizona, that was on my list of people to talk to that I didn't. I was waiting to become successful, and I saw it before he did. I was waiting to become successful before I shared it with him, so I procrastinated, and my best friend, my friend who was in the same network marketing company I was involved in, his name is Larry Smith. So for a guest here, Larry is a dear friend of mine still, but Larry just got his $500,000 ring last week, or 2 weeks ago. So here's what that means to me. Okay, in my family, I missed out on $175,000 a year in overrides because I was too scared or procrastinated and didn't want to touch base with him until I knew it all. Not a good thing to do. I hope none of you ever have to say that. You have to understand this for what it truly is, because guess what? One of these days, you're going to share this information with somebody else. They're going to say, oh, I already got that membership. Somebody just talked to me last week. Anybody experienced that before? Yeah, half of the room. Okay, so it's imperative that you get out and share the information with as many people as you possibly can, because you just don't know where they are in their life at the time that you give it to them, okay? Extremely important. So here I am. I'm running into Larry. I go to the whole entire Super Saturday program. I get it, man. I learn how to shut up and ask questions, okay? That's the key for all of you new people. Shut up. Ask questions, show the video, ask questions, listen to a tape, ask questions. Got it? Don't try to be the know-it-all, because the know-it-all gets killed every single time. All right? So here's what I found out. Again, okay, don't be what? The message. Be the messenger. Remember that. It's extremely important. So here's the deal. After that training on Saturday, I drive back to Phoenix, and Sunday morning I call up the three guys that I recruited. They're all from Denver, Colorado, okay? And I said, look, you guys, I've been doing this completely wrong. Here's what I did. I bought 500 cassette tapes, okay? And I'm going to share them with you guys. You're each going to owe me $75. They cost me 60 cents a piece, all right? And here's what we're going to do. We're going to get them out to everybody that we know, okay? Every person, we aren't going to prejudge. I learned not to prejudge. Doesn't make any difference who they are, as long as they're 18 and have a bank account, okay? Got to make sure you that, okay? So here's what happened. I got all three of them on the line, and one of the guys is a guy named Jim Johnson, who's no longer with us, but he says, look, why don't you know, you need to quit that job you're at. It's killing you. He says, you're through divorce, the house is gone, you know, why don't you just move back up to Denver where I spent a decade in the car business? You know a lot of people here. You can go to work for me full time, okay? He offered me a job that's $2,000 a month from my $80,000 a year. Is that a big drop? I didn't care. I said, you know, he says, you can work for me. I have this conference room where we can show the videos. We can bring people in. I mean, we can work. The four of us can work together really cool. So what I'm telling you, if you have three or four people that you can partner up with, I mean, you got your family. You got your nucleus right there to really break this thing wide open, okay? Just understand it and how to do it right, okay? So here's what happened. I made the decision to move back up to Denver, Colorado. So I got a nice little apartment, you know, $550 a month. I cut my outgo completely down to like 20% of what it was, sold my house, all my bills. I paid off. Does that make sense? Okay. I'm divorced. That's done. Okay. I'm starting a brand new life at 47 years old. All right. So it's like, you know what? I have to make this deal work. I've already told my mother, who thought I was crazy. I already told all my relatives, my brothers and my sisters. They're saying, why would you quit your job? You know, you did so good at it. You know, hey, it is what it is. You guys are going to get faced with that adversity from your family, and you need to understand it for what it is. But I decided to draw the line in the sand and go for it. And I mean go for it. So I sold it all, okay, moved back up to Denver, Colorado, okay. Myself and my three other buddies, okay, we got those 500 cassettes out in 3 months, 90 days. Okay, and that's not that hard to do, okay? But we worked our butts off. And I'm telling you, if you're brand new in the business, you take the time, don't watch television for 90 days. We made that pact. We weren't going to watch television for 90 days. We weren't going to go to any sports. We weren't going to do anything. We're going to get this thing off the ground, okay? And that's exactly what we did. So here's what happened. Got the 500 cassette tapes out to people that we thought might be interested. We followed up with all of them, the four of us, okay? We ended up with 103 out of the 500, 20%, that wanted more information. That's normal, 20%, right? Okay, so here's what we did. We would sit down with them. We'd either go to Starbucks or they'd come by the office. I'd go to their house, whatever. But I carried around with me a 9-inch little VHS. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen them before? Makes sense. No laptops at that, no internet at that time, right? My lousy hour and 15-minute video, and everybody that expressed some interest, I'm there. I'm going to meet them somewhere that day. There were two or three, sometimes seven times in a day, I sat down with people that wanted more interest, okay? And what I do? Here's what I said. I want you to see it how I see it and how I saw it, okay? So I popped the DVD, or not DVD, the VHS in the recorder, right? They watched an hour-long video. And guess what? Here's what happened. They wanted to, every one of those said, well, that's pretty interesting. But we ended up with about 50 people out of that 103 that thought they would like to get involved. So the next step was, just like here, okay, what'd they do? We went to a live event. And guess what? Larry Smith had just moved up to Denver, Colorado, started the first meeting on August the 15th, 1996. So we started going to our Tuesday night briefings, okay? Our Tuesday night briefings grew from 5 to 10 to 20 to 50 to 150, okay, within a 90-day period of time. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? And I'm telling you guys, this is what you got to do, okay? Because it's amazing what will happen for you, okay? So out of the 50 people that went in, we ended up recruiting 23 people. 23 people, okay, in that 90-day period of time. We'd get them into the training, repeat the process. What's the process today? It's the same thing. It's all expose the process, right? Expose it. It's a four-step process, right? Does that make sense? It's always the same. Always the same, okay? Guess what? If you think about that, the next 90 days we did exactly the same, okay? Ended up with 28 people, associates in our organization. So, I mean, what does that tell you, you know? So we ended up, we talked to him, we shared the information with 500 people, ended up with 23. Is that abnormal? Hey, It's what is it? 90-10 rule? Pretty much the same thing, isn't it? That's just the way it is. You have to understand it for what it is, okay? Because a lot of people don't see what you see, okay? And it's all about timing, because maybe they have something going on in their life right now, you know, that they can't see the forest for the trees, you know? Maybe something's happening. Somebody's dying in their family. Somebody's in the hospital. It's life. Stuff happens, right? So here we go. We got all these people, okay? And now we're rocking, okay? In fact, that first initial push by the four of us, okay, this is so cool. Here I am almost 18 years later, okay? And that one organizational leg that we started in Denver, Colorado, Jerry and Sue and Danny and Whitney, where are you guys at? Right there. Part of that organizational leg. Almost 18 years later. I didn't recruit them. Does that make sense? But they were recruited through somebody else, through somebody else, through somebody else, through somebody else. And that one organizational leg has produced over 60,000 memberships. All right? That we made an override of about $22 a head. Figure that one out. Do you think that was worth really hitting it hard for 90 days? That's what you got to do, man. I'm telling you, just got to really take this, look at the big picture, make it a business decision and a life decision, because it'll pay dividends down the road. It's absolutely huge. So here I am in December, okay? And how are we doing on time? Okay, and I go back home to Kansas City, where I grew up and left when I was 17. I vowed to never return to Kansas City because I lived out west, right, for 30 years of my life. And anyway, I went back there to be with my siblings, and my mom was alive at that time. And my sister-in-law fixes me up with my blind date, who's now my wife and the mother of my child, okay, Cindy, okay. And so I go on this blind date on the 23rd of December. Thank you, Lord. another blessing, okay. And you know, we click, man. Spiritually, we're right on same wavelength, you know. And business-wise, we're pretty much on the same wavelength. I give her my attorney story, which some of you I told about, you know, which basically goes through all the membership. And she was just sued and had to settle out of court for 10 grand. She goes, "You mean if I would have had this, I would have saved $10,000, you know?" I'm in. She signed up, became my business partner. And make a long story short, I went back to Denver in some... I don't know. I was supposed to stay 3 days. I stayed 2 weeks for some reason. I don't know what happened. But at any rate, I went back to Denver doing my business, right? Now I've got two really strong organizational legs. And at that time, we had to have three strong organizational legs. I had to have a minimum of 25 out of each leg. So I had two organizational legs that were producing over 200 memberships a month that I wasn't receiving any overrides on as executive director, because I was a director. So I had a lot of other directors. Does that make sense? So I'm just kind of upset, you know? So I quit. Again, I quit. I'm so close, I quit. You'll experience that maybe. So I quit again, you know? I quit going to meetings. Larry's doing the meetings. I'm part of the core group, you know? 3 weeks, I don't go to any meetings. And I get a call from Mike Dorsey, who's Michael Dorsey's father. You know, he was in started the business. And he goes, "Ross, you are so close to hitting your executive director level. You really need to understand where you're at. I mean, you got two strong director legs produced over, by the way, I want to thank you for the sending us that $17,000 override check last month. But you could probably keep it for you if you knew how to do the rest, okay?" He goes, "All you have to do is build one more executive director leg. And I think you got some gal in Kansas City that is producing some stuff. You ought to start building that, right?" And I said, "Well, yeah, da, da, da." I said, "You know, it's just not, you know, it's gelling for me. I'm losing my focus," whatever. Anyway, he brought me around. Thank you, Lord, again. Okay. He says, "This is what you need to do." He showed me what I needed to do, okay? So now I have a clear mind on what to do to build my third organizational leg, right? And he says, "By the way, if you really want to get it strong, you need to go to the convention." He said, this is in January. He says, "The convention is in March in Oklahoma City, not that far from you. You know, you live in Denver, right?" And he says, "You got to go." And I said, "Mike, I'm not going to any conventions." I said, I don't need any of that rah-rah stuff. I said, I know what to do. He says, no, you don't. Believe me. If you go to the convention, here's what's going to happen. He says, you will learn from people that are already making six-figure incomes. There's no rah-rah to it whatsoever, okay? So anyway, I'm thinking, well, maybe that's a good idea. So I'm calling Cindy at the time. I said, you know, she's living in Kansas City. We're carrying on this long-distance love affair. I'm in Denver. And she goes, man, you're crazy if you don't go to the convention. You know, she was smart enough to see the bigger picture. And I said, well, maybe I'll go. And Mike calls me back and says, by the way, if you decide to go, and you better go, or I'm not going to talk to you anymore. He goes, take at least five or six people with you. I said, okay, well, I've recruited a good group of people that are still working the program. So I ended up going to the convention in March. Our first convention, there were 1,300 people there. I took 12 people that I had personally sponsored. Pretty cool deal, man. You know, 12 apostles, 12 people. But here's the deal. I'm telling you. Here's what happened to me. So I had two strong director legs producing over 200 memberships a month, right? So now, and you know, I'm still a director, so I'm still making most of my money from my own personal because I have directors underneath me, so there's no overrides at that system, right? And I'm making $1,200 a month here and there. But I go to the convention. I took a guy by the name of Ryan Nelson. And Ryan, I met through another guy that I recruited, and Bob Fairfield, okay? They were both directors. Anyway, Ryan Nelson was a combustion engineer, okay? And Bob Fairfield introduced me to Ryan. He says, this guy is really sharp, and if we can recruit him, man, I think he'll go nuts, you know? And I said, well, let's talk to him. So Ryan comes over, we meet for coffee, and so Ryan, I'd like to be able to share the information that we're doing with you. You know, Bob says, you're a really sharp individual. He goes, look, I don't have time. I've got to catch a flight. He said, I do want some information seriously because I'm going. He says, I work for this company. This company that I work for sends me all around the world, okay, to work on these glass furnaces, you know, for glass manufacturers. And I'm sick and tired of it. I made $120,000 last year, but I want to quit the job. I said, Ryan, take this tape with you, okay? Here's this tape by this guy, Dave Sevilla, made $1.2 million. He said, fine, I'll take it with me. So Ryan goes over to the Philippines where he can buy a cassette recorder, right? He didn't have one with him, right? And Ryan's over there for a week working on the blast furnace at this big manufacturer. Comes back, he says, calls me up. The day he lands, says, I'm quitting my job. I've listened to this tape about 50 times. I can do this. I said, Ryan, don't quit your job because I don't want that kind of responsibility, right? We don't want you to quit your job. I mean, I know how, I can show you how to do this on a part-time basis. He goes, no. I have saved a ton of money. I can do this. I'm quitting my job and I'm going to do this business. I said, cool. Okay. If that's what you want to do, we'll run with you as fast as you can run. Okay. So Ryan is one of the 12 that went to the national convention with me. Okay. Ryan, Bob Fairfield, a bunch of the guys out of the Denver market, two people out of the Kansas City market, a couple of people out of the Arizona market. And I'm there with 12 people. So I'm number 13. You know, it's pretty awesome. So we go through this training at the national convention, 1,300 people there. We go back, everybody, it's like we've been to the mountaintop. You know what I mean? We got the glow. We know what's happening, right? We know how to do it. So everybody starts getting busy. Well, 2 months later, Ryan, okay, hit his executive director level. My third organizational leg, which was Cindy, hit the executive director level. Okay, so that 1 month pushed me right up to bronze. That was pretty cool. That month we had 280 sales, so the following month I got my little override, $9,800 from 1,200. You follow what I'm saying? Did that get me excited? Yeah. Kind of. It got me so excited I moved back to Kansas City where I said I was never going to go again. Okay, so fortunately my wife, Cindy, took my daughter and myself back to Kansas City and we started doing our growth in the Kansas City and all the other areas. Okay, so the basics of the program is what I went through. Okay, for a brand new person, you have to understand the first thing that you're going to do, you're going to make that list. No matter what, who you think is going to do it, it doesn't make any difference. Because guess what? You may end up with a story like mine. This guy was on my list, like Larry Smith was on my list, but I didn't get him because I was procrastinated. cost me $175,000 a year. In overrides, I don't want that happening to you. It's going to happen, okay? You, some of you guys, it's already happened to. You make your list, okay? And guess what? If you've recruited a person, okay, that hasn't done anything yet, it's only because you haven't helped them make their list. So you help them make their list, and you do exactly the same thing with them that Jimmy Cossert did with me. You get on the phone with them to what? Invite to take a look. That's the key to the whole entire business. Because we know the hardest thing to overcome, the hardest thing to do is to get people in here, invite people here, right? Invite people to take a look. That's the hardest thing to do. But guess what? If you have 100 people on your list, what's going to happen? You're going to get 10% of them. And what if one of those 10 was Larry Smith or Chris Hughes or George Wilkerson? What about that? Because they're out there. You guys understand that for what it is, right? So you make your list. You expose the business model. You get them into a live training. Okay? Okay? Repeat the process. It ain't that difficult. It's just a system that you need to understand how to work it. Okay? Because if you become system dependent, then you don't have to work so hard. And guess what? That system dependent will drive, that system will drive everything in your entire business. Why? That's why 17 and a half years later, Jerry and his organization right there is there from my first initial shove, okay? Because they're system dependent. We rely on the tools, okay? It's all about the tools. Get really good at the tools. The more tools you got into the marketplace, what happens? The more people see what's going on, more people will join your company, more people will join you because you are the business owner, right? You are, hey, you're the guy. You're the CEO of your own company. You have to take responsibility for what it is, okay? It all depends on you. It has nothing to do with your upline, doesn't have anything to do with your downline, doesn't have anything to do with your sideline. When you quit treating this like a hobby, it'll pay you like a business because you'll treat it like a business. It's as simple as that. You got to treat it like a true business, okay? Get serious, okay? I'm telling you, it's a blessing. You know, I'm at that point in my life where I can choose what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, where I want to do it, and who I want to do it with, right? And I love this business. I on my plane right out here, you know, I was sitting next to somebody I know from my church, you know? And she got on the plane saying, she goes, "Hi, Ross, how you doing?" And she sat next to me. Anyway, she went home with a DVD. Everybody I meet goes home with a DVD. Does that make sense? Or they have my card. I do the Bill Walker thing, you know, like I did earlier. Every single person that I talk to. And if you aren't doing that, your business is at a standstill. You got to recruit, and that's all there is to the program. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to find some people, okay, that see the bigger picture. Maybe you'll get fortunate enough to get a Deanne in your business. Whoa! How'd you like to have that deal? 178 memberships last month. Is that what you had? 111. Oh, well, you know, who's counting? But over 100, does that make sense? Okay, I had some other notes. I got to take a look at my notes before we take a break here. How close are we?
Here's some extra notes.
How close are we?
Yeah, 10
minutes. Okay. Oh, I got to tell you another one. Another story. Okay, so the guy who gave me the tape in Phoenix, Arizona, he quit 3 months after I started. Now, I want to tell you what that means. Okay. For the guests here, you really need to understand this, okay? Never, ever, ever quit your membership, okay? Especially if you're an associate, all right? Now, he gave me that tape. I signed up, and guess what? He saw that I quit after 90 days. He quit. He quit his membership. Well, I got turned around the next month. It started on fire, right? And guess what? Now we have over 150,000 memberships that have been written in my organization, of which he would have been first-line director, which he would have made $5 for every membership. What do you think he missed out on? Is that terrible? Just keeping this little $25 membership? Don't quit your membership, okay? And when you're sitting down with somebody, you know, and they're buying a membership from you, okay, always ask for referrals. Referrals will drive your business crazy. I mean, because there's not one person that when you're sitting down with somebody, they're seeing it, right? They think the bigger picture, and if they aren't being an associate, they're going to buy the membership, right? Because a lot of us sell more memberships than we recruit. So everybody has somebody that they could share a referral with. And you just got to ask them, real nonchalant, says, how many people do you know that would like to own this membership? It's a pretty simple question, right? And look, I'd like to have a couple of referrals, if you don't mind. Would you mind doing that? And they said, well, I don't know. I said, come on, you're my friend. Do it. Just, you got to make, sometimes you have to ask three or four times. Sometimes you have to ask five. But don't give up. Don't ever quit, okay? And everybody has a chicken list. Am I right? Because when you make your list of 100, right, you got the 10 top that's warm and fuzzy, and then you probably have 10 that are your chicken list, right? Those are the ones that, I don't know if I want to call them right now. I'll put them off till tomorrow. Have you ever done that one? I've done that a lot, okay? Well, guess what happens? You know, here's the problem. I still have three people in my head from 2 months ago that I haven't called. And it stops my progression, you know, because I'm spending too much time thinking about those people where I don't care if I at least share the information with them. I get them out of my head, creates a vacuum where I can put something else new in, right? So you have to understand it for what it is. Get the chicken list out of the way. And that's one of my favorite books, too, is like Eat That Frog, you know. Brian Tracy, he says, hey, first thing in the morning, eat, you know, take the biggest chunk that you can, the hardest thing to do, get it done, because the rest of the day goes very, very easy, okay? Here's another one. You got to write this one down. If you want to be successful in this business, you have to be on time. In fact, if you really want to be successful in this business, you want to be before time, okay? Seriously, Mr. Stone Cipher had a great saying. He says, you know, if you can't be on time, be early. Because guess what? See, everybody that you recruit in this business is going to do exactly what you do, right? They're going to follow the leader, right? And if you're late, they're going to be late. If you aren't dressing up, they aren't going to dress up, okay? You know, if you aren't sharing the information with other people, they're not going to share the information with other people. I mean, you're doing a complete disservice to somebody that you recruit by not helping them to make a list within 48 hours and get on the phone and inviting people to take a look. A complete disservice. So take responsibility, because guess what? It is your responsibility to make sure if you're going to recruit somebody into the business, you are responsible, because you are the sponsor. Responsible. Does that mean it all goes hand in hand, right? Okay? You're responsible for their outcome. Treat them as a child, you know? You got to change their diapers. You got to feed them. You got to do the things in the very beginning to help them get up to speed. Teach them how to walk, you know? Because just, you know, there's certain levels, you know, of education that they have to go through, but they don't have to be totally educated in order to make money. And that's the biggest problem a lot of us have, is because I want to know it all before I what?
Do anything.
No, that's not it. It's just the opposite, okay? I want to share the information, and then I'll learn as I go through that process, okay? I liked what Deanne said. Brought her husband up. Isn't that cool? I mean, if you don't have spousal support, you know, you have a challenge. I'm sorry. You know, but what you need to do is really try your very best for spousal support. I know that, and here's a good story. Michael Dorsey, you know, his wife Amy, you know, he spent 2 years, Michael Dorsey, just got his $500,000 ring last week, right? For 2 years, he's a landscaper. You guys saw Michael here not too long ago, right? A landscaper, he's coming home at 5 o'clock at night, all dirty and nasty and whatnot, right? And then he spends 2 hours on the phones. 2 hours. Every single night for 2 years before they hit executive director in the company. Okay, because he saw the picture. But here's what he did. Before he started doing that, he sat down with Amy and they put their goals together. They wanted to, he said, this is what I would like to do. I don't want to do this business, this landscaping anymore. I'd like to develop this business that my dad is doing, and this is what it's going to require. It's going to require at least 10 hours a week for me, you know, to be away from you and the kid. At that time, one child. Does that make sense? So you've got to get the buy-in from your spouse, you know? And sometimes it's really hard to do, but you really have to do it. I mean, and one of the best ways to do it is bring them to functions where they get to meet great people like you guys, you know? The luncheon that we went to, those are the easiest because every spouse will let you take them to lunch, right? Or dinner, right? So you've got to be able to have that support there. I mean, I can go on and on. What I want to do right now, we're going to take a quick break because I'm tired. But more importantly, you're tired of listening to me. I'm just kidding. I got a lot of good stuff. I got stuff that we're going to go through on some serious training, but I just want to tell you my story because in my story is some great training, okay? Number one, you make your list, right? Never quit your membership, right? You got that stuff, right? Those are some extremely important things, all right? But I wanted to share with you what you guys got coming up next month. You guys got some really cool. You got a guy. I had. You have Steve Mueller coming in for Super Saturday next month. Okay. Now, Steve Mueller, I've had in Kansas City. He stayed at our house. The whole family. We know them. We've known him for a long time, and they got it. I mean, you know, and his story goes back to kind of. You know, like a lot of us, you know, they were in dire straits. He and his brother were living in the attic of the garage of their sister's house when they started in the network marketing industry. But they drew the line in the sand. I mean, they were both college educated, too, you know, and they were driving around a little Yugo. If you know what that Yugo is, it's one that doesn't run all the time. But what a story. Going from, you know, the attic of a garage and driving a Yugo and never faltering, always staying, refocusing and getting more information and refocusing, getting into our Legal Shield business, you know, and really taking it up to where they are today. And they're over $500,000 income earners. Is that pretty awesome? Wow. I mean, and Steve is, you know, he's laid back. He's a really good guy. He comes from the heart, you know. Like you will find the majority of the people in our company, you know, they come from the heart. They want to see, and I want to see, so many of you go to that executive director level because I know that the more people that we get in with us, the easier it is for all of us, right? Hey, it's a fun boat. I mean, now we're on a ship. We got mid-ocean behind us. They put us into the 747 now. I mean, we're rocketing. We're going fast. I hope you guys are, you know, catching on because we want to go fast with you, all right? But Steve Melia, gosh, what a great guy. You know, he took a whole year off and hit every New York Yankees game in that season. Is that pretty awesome? How would you like to be able to do something like that? Okay. Understand this. It took him 13 years to make that happen. Do you think it was worthwhile? Because now their family is making that $500,000 a year. That's all, you know, it's already there. It's not all new stuff. Is that pretty awesome? So I think George has some information for you on the tick. Chris has all the information. Well, come on up here, Chris. Come on and share that information with everybody, okay? Give Mr. Chris Hughes a huge hand, okay?
Comes the Idaho family. So why don't y'all, Idaho family, stand up, please. There you go. They said they're going to take this room over next month, so we better get a lot more Utah people in here. I'm just telling you. Leroy Edwards is our regional manager up there, and Leroy actually should have been recognized as tied for second place in recruiting. So he's leading for example. Let's give him a hand. All right. The other thing is that I found out that Jocelyn not only went senior associate in 3.5 months, and not only was a top recruiter, but Jocelyn, didn't I understand that you're actually Power 20 this month as well? Wow! I guess I haven't embarrassed her enough out in the hall. Okay, what I'm going to do is get myself out of the way. Mr. Chantrell has got a phenomenal training. We got all our AV working and everything else. But did you guys like his story or what? I hope all you guys got your tickets, because the way that Chris is setting this up now, it's going to start costing more afterwards, so we're not going to wait. We're going to let people that are here right now take advantage of it right now. So make sure you do. Also, at the end of the event today, the restaurant here is set up for the event after the event. For anybody that wants to have lunch here, they are waiting for us. They will have extra staff. Everything is set up for us, okay? So we'll just go down to the cafe, and we'll be able to grab something to eat. So with that, I'm going to get myself out of the way. I'm going to get back up the stage. Mr. Ross Chantrell, let's get on our feet and give him a big round of applause.
All right. Going down the home stretch here. You know, the most important thing anybody can really do in the very beginning for their new folks or themselves is to understand what their why is all about, you know. And you got to write it out, you know. If your why doesn't make you cry, you don't got it. Now, you don't, you know, you have to really get it, internalize it a lot, what it is that you want to do, where you want to be, what you want to have, all kinds of things, right? But your why will drive your business to the right place that it needs to be. Okay? Understand that, okay? Now, I have a... What happened here? Did we lose my guy here?
Wake it up again.
There we go.
Says the Seuss on it.
Okay. So, the why is extremely important. Now, I stole this. It's not my stuff, okay? Simon Sinek is a guy who we're going to listen to for the next 12 minutes, okay? Simon Sinek is an author, and he really has captured the why. Okay, the most important thing, the driving force for your entire business is all about your personal why. My why in the very beginning was getting out of the business, you know, that I was in, because I didn't have the time to do what I needed to do and take care of my family and all the other stuff that I told you about, you know. And our why's changed over a period of time. But he can explain why the why is the why.
Is it about 8 minutes in?
Let's see.
Right at the beginning now.
Let's see here. Well, darn it. I'm on, aren't I? Off which website?
TED.com. You got it.
Well, it is on TED.
Okay. How do you explain when things don't go as we assume? Better, how do you explain when others are able to achieve things that seem to defy all of the assumptions? For example, why is Apple so innovative? Year after year after year after year, they're more innovative than all their competition. And yet, they're just a computer company. They're just like everyone else. They have the same access to the same talent, the same agencies, the same consultants, the same media. Then why is it that they seem to have something different? Why is it that Martin Luther King led the civil rights movement? He wasn't the only man who suffered in a pre-civil rights America, and he certainly wasn't the only great orator of the day. Why him? And why is it that the Wright brothers were able to figure out controlled powered manned flight when there were certainly other teams who were better qualified, better funded, and they didn't achieve powered manned flight, and the Wright brothers beat them to it? There's something else at play here. About 3.5 years ago, I made a discovery. And this discovery profoundly changed my view on how I thought the world worked, and it even profoundly changed the way in which I operate in it. As it turns out, there's a pattern. As it turns out, all the great and inspiring leaders and organizations in the world, whether it's Apple or Martin Luther King or the Wright brothers, they all think, act, and communicate the exact same way, and it's the complete opposite to everyone else. All I did was codify it. And it's probably the world's simplest idea. I call it the golden circle. Why, how, what? This little idea explains why some organizations and some leaders are able to inspire where others aren't. Let me define the terms really quickly. Every single person, every single organization on the planet knows what they do 100%. Some know how they do it, whether you call it your differentiating value proposition or your proprietary process or your USP. But very, very few people or organizations know why they do what they do. And by why, I don't mean to make a profit. That's a result. It's always a result. By why, I mean what's your purpose? What's your cause? What's your belief? Why does your organization exist? Why do you get out of bed in the morning? And why should anyone care? Well, as a result, the way we think, the way we act, the way we communicate is from the outside in. It's obvious. We go from the clearest thing to the fuzziest thing. But the inspired leaders and the inspired organizations, regardless of their size, regardless of their industry, all think, act, and communicate from the inside out. Let me give you an example. I use Apple because they're easy to understand and everybody gets it. If Apple were like everyone else, a marketing message from them might sound like this. We make great computers. They're beautifully designed, simple to use, and user-friendly. Want to buy one? Meh. And that's how most of us communicate. That's how most marketing is done. That's how most sales is done. And that's how most of us communicate interpersonally. We say what we do. We say how we're different or how we better. And we expect some sort of behavior, a purchase, a vote, something like that. Here's our new law firm. We have the best lawyers with the biggest clients. We have, you know, we always perform for our clients, do business with us. Here's our new car. It gets great gas mileage. It has, you know, leather seats. Buy our car. But it's uninspiring. Here's how Apple actually communicates. Everything we do, we believe in challenging the status quo. We believe in thinking differently. The way we challenge the status quo is by making our products beautifully designed, simple to use, and user-friendly. We just happen to make great computers. Want to buy one? Totally different, right? You ready to buy a computer from me? All I did was reverse the order of the information. What it proves to us is that people don't buy what you do, people buy why you do it. People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. This explains why every single person in this room is perfectly comfortable buying a computer from Apple. But we're also perfectly comfortable buying an MP3 player from Apple, or a phone from Apple, or a DVR from Apple. But as I said before, Apple's just a computer company. There's nothing that distinguishes them structurally from any of their competitors. Their competitors are all equally qualified to make all of these products. In fact, they tried. A few years ago, Gateway came out with flat-screen TVs. They're eminently qualified to make flat-screen TVs. They've been making flat-screen monitors for years. Nobody bought one. And Dell. Dell came out with MP3 players and PDAs. And they make great quality products, and they can make perfectly well-designed products, and nobody bought one. In fact, talking about it now, we can't even imagine buying an MP3 player from Dell. Why would you buy an MP3 player from a computer company? But we do it every day. People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. The goal is not to do business with anybody, with everybody who needs what you have. The goal is to do business with people who believe what you believe. Here's the best part. None of what I'm telling you is my opinion. It's all grounded in the tenets of biology, not psychology, biology. If you look at a cross-section of the human brain looking from the top down, what you see is the human brain is actually broken into three major components that correlate perfectly with the golden circle. Our newest brain, our Homo sapien brain, our neocortex, corresponds with the what level. The neocortex is responsible for all of our rational and analytical thought and language. The middle two sections make up our limbic brains, and our limbic brains are responsible for all of our feelings, like trust and loyalty. It's also responsible for all human behavior, all decision-making, and it has no capacity for language. In other words, when we communicate from the outside in, yes, people can understand vast amounts of complicated information like features and benefits and facts and figures. It just doesn't drive behavior. When we communicate from the inside out, we're talking directly to the part of the brain that controls behavior, and then we allow people to rationalize it with the tangible things we say and do. This is where gut decisions come from. You know, sometimes you can give somebody all the facts and your figures, and they say, I know what all the facts and details say, but it just doesn't feel right. Why would we use that verb? It doesn't feel right. Because the part of the brain that controls decision-making doesn't control language. And the best we can muster up is, I don't know, it just doesn't feel right. Or sometimes you say you're leading with your heart or you're leading with your soul. Well, I hate to break it to you, those aren't other body parts controlling your behavior. It's all happening here in your limbic brain, the part of the brain that controls decision-making and not language. But if you don't know why you do what you do, and people respond to why you do what you do, then how will anybody... How will you ever get people to vote for you or buy something from you, or more importantly, be loyal and want to be a part of what it is that you do? Again, the goal is not just to sell people who need what you have. The goal is to sell to people who believe what you believe. The goal is not just to hire people who need a job. It's to hire people who believe what you believe. I always say that, you know, there's hire people just because they can do a job, they'll work for your money. But if you hire people who believe what you believe, they work for you with blood and sweat and tears. And nowhere else is there a better example of this than with the Wright brothers. Most people don't know about Samuel Pierpont Langley. And back in the early 20th century, the pursuit of powered man flight was like the dot-com of the day. Everybody was trying it. And Samuel Pierpont Langley had what we assume to be the recipe for success. I mean, even now, when you ask people, why did your product or why did your company fail? And people always give you the same permutation of the same three things. Undercapitalized, the wrong people, bad market conditions. It's always the same three things. So let's explore that. Samuel Pierpont Langley was given $50,000 by the War Department to figure out this flying machine. Money was no problem. He held a seat at Harvard and worked at the Smithsonian and was extremely well-connected. He knew all the big minds of the day. He hired the best minds money could find, and the market conditions were fantastic. The New York Times followed him around everywhere, and everyone was rooting for Langley. And how come we've never heard of Samuel Pierpont Langley? A few hundred miles away in Dayton, Ohio, Orville and Wilbur Wright. They had none of what we consider to be the recipe for success. They had no money. They paid for their dream with the proceeds from their bicycle shop. Not a single person on the Wright brothers' team had a college education, not even Orville or Wilbur. And the New York Times followed them around nowhere. The difference was Orville and Wilbur were driven by a cause, by a purpose, by a belief. They believed that if they could figure out this flying machine, it'll change the course of the world. Samuel Pierpont Langley was different. He wanted to be rich, and he wanted to be famous. He was in pursuit of the result. He was in pursuit of the riches. And lo and behold, look what happened. The people who believed in the Wright brothers' dream worked with them with blood and sweat and tears. The others just worked for the paycheck. And they tell stories of how every time the Wright brothers went out, they would have to take five sets of parts, because that's how many times they would crash before they came in for supper. And eventually, on December 17th, 1903, the Wright brothers took flight, and no one was there to even experience it. We found out about it a few days later. And further proof that Langley was motivated by the wrong thing, the day the Wright brothers took flight, he quit. He could have said, "That's an amazing discovery, guys, and I will improve upon your technology." But he didn't. He wasn't first. He didn't get rich. He didn't get famous. So he quit. People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And if you talk about what you believe, you will attract those who believe what you believe. Well, why is it important to attract those who believe what you believe? Something called the law of diffusion of innovation. And if you don't know the law, you definitely know the terminology. The first 2.5% of our population are our innovators. The next 13.5% of our population are our early adopters. The next 34% are your early majority, your late majority, and your laggards. The only reason these people buy touch-tone phones is because you can't buy rotary phones anymore. We all sit at various places at various times on the scale, but what the law of diffusion of innovation tells us is that if you want mass market success or mass market acceptance of an idea, you cannot have it until you achieve this tipping point between 15 and 18% market penetration, and then the system tips. And I love asking businesses, what's your conversion on new business? And they love to tell you, oh, it's about 10%, proudly. Well, you can trip over 10% of the customers. We all have about 10% who just get it. That's how we describe them, right? That's like that gut feeling. Oh, they just get it. The problem is, how do you find the ones that just get it before you're doing business with them versus the ones who don't get it? So it's this here, this little gap, that you have to close, as Jeffrey Moore calls it, crossing the chasm. Because you see, the early majority will not try something until someone else has tried it first. And these guys, the innovators and the early adopters, they're comfortable making those gut decisions. They're more comfortable making those intuitive decisions that are driven by what they believe about the world, and not just what product is available. These are the people who stood online for 6 hours to buy an iPhone when they first came out, when you could have just walked into the store the next week and bought one off the shelf. These are the people who spent $40,000 on flat screen TVs when they first came out, even though the technology was substandard. And by the way, they didn't do it because the technology was so great. They did it for themselves. It's because they wanted to be first. People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And what you do simply proves what you believe. In fact, people will do the things that prove what they believe. The reason that person bought the iPhone in the first six hours, or stood in line for six hours, was because of what they believed about the world and how they wanted everybody to see them. They were first. People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. So let me give you a famous example, a famous failure and a famous success of the law of diffusion of innovation. First, the famous failure. It's a commercial example. As we said before a second ago, the recipe for success is money and the right people and the right market conditions, right? You should have success then. Look at TiVo. From the time TiVo came out about 8 or 9 years ago to this current day, they are the single highest quality product on the market. Hands down, there is no dispute. They were extremely well-funded. Market conditions were fantastic. I mean, we use TiVo as a verb. I TiVo stuff on my piece of junk Time Warner DVR all the time. But TiVo is a commercial failure. They've never made money. And when they went IPO, their stock was at about $30 or $40 and then plummeted, and it's never traded above 10. In fact, I don't think it's even traded above 6, except for a couple of little spikes. Because you see, when TiVo launched their product, they told us all what they had. They said, we have a product that pauses live TV, skips commercials, rewinds live TV, and memorizes your viewing habits without you even asking. And the cynical majority said, we don't believe you. We don't need it. We don't like it. You're scaring us. What if they had said, if you're the kind of person who likes to have total control over every aspect of your life, boy, do we have a product for you. It pauses live TV, skips commercials, memorizes your viewing habits, etc., etc. People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it, and what you do simply serves as the proof of what you believe. Now let me give you a successful example of the law of diffusion of innovation. In the summer of 1963, 250,000 people showed up on the Mall in Washington to hear Dr. King speak. They sent out no invitations, and there was no website to check the date. How do you do that? Well, Dr. King wasn't the only man in America who was a great orator. He wasn't the only man in America who suffered in a pre-civil rights America. In fact, some of his ideas were bad. But he had a gift. He didn't go around telling people what needed to change in America. He went around and told people what he believed. I believe, I believe, I believe, he told people. And people who believed what he believed took his cause and they made it their own, and they told people. And some of those people created structures to get the word out to even more people. And lo and behold, 250,000 people showed up on the right day, on the right time, to hear him speak. How many of them showed up for him? Zero. They showed up for themselves. It's what they believed about America that got them to travel on a bus for 8 hours to stand in the sun in Washington in the middle of August. It's what they believed. And it wasn't about black versus white. 25% of the audience was white. Dr. King believed that there are two types of laws in this world, those that are made by a higher authority and those that are made by man. And not until all the laws that are made by man are consistent with the laws that are made by the higher authority will we live in a just world. It just so happens that the civil rights movement was the perfect thing to help him bring his cause to life. We followed him not for him, but for ourselves. And by the way, he gave the I have a dream speech, not the I have a plan speech. Listen to politicians now with their comprehensive 12-point plans. They're not inspiring anybody. Because there are leaders and there are those who lead. Leaders hold a position of power or authority, but those who lead inspire us. Whether they're individuals or organizations, we follow those who lead, not because we have to, but because we want to. We follow those who lead, not for them, but for ourselves. And it's those who start with why that have the ability to inspire those around them or find others who inspire them. Thank you very much.
Pretty awesome stuff, isn't it? You know, your why will lead you to work the right things, okay? My why in the very beginning was completely different than what it is today. You know, life changes, right? And at any rate, I'm going to get out of this here. How much time do we have? Okay, I won't take that much time, okay? But, you know, like you said, you know, your why, you understand it, right? Okay, it's got to be bigger than you, right? So I was thinking about it, and I'm writing this stuff down, and I love listening to Simon. He's such a brilliant guy, you know? You go to TED and get that. You got to watch it on it. You know, every other week, pick it up, you know, and rewatch it because it reignites your fire because it's very motivational to me anyway. I hope it is to you too. But I'm thinking everybody really wants to be part of something bigger than they are, right? Guess what? We're in a giant movement. We're part of a gigantic movement, okay, to bring equal justice for everybody in the United States. That's exactly what our forefathers decided to make happen, was to make it equal to for everybody, right? And that's exactly what our company has given us the opportunity to do. Besides, you know, besides just sharing that with information with everybody and helping them gain access, guess what? We get compensated. So that's a cool area. We get compensation. Plus, you know, we get the satisfaction internally of helping other people. What can be better than that? There's really nothing better than that whatsoever, okay? So make sure you go to TED and watch that every other week. You know, Simon Sinek on Your Why, because Your Why will keep you going when you want to give up, you know? It'll help you tremendously. So I want to thank Simon for that. We got about 30 minutes. I have a goal planning session, which I put together a long time ago. It has helped me a little bit. And I'm going to blast right through it real quickly. And I hope it helps some of you. And if it doesn't, you can blame George. Okay, goals govern your daily activities, you guys. Goals really dictate when and how you do things, such as what time you go to bed, when you get up in the morning, where you go during the day, what you do when you get there. Your goal even determines how you got here at this time. And I'll send all this PowerPoint over to George so he can put it up on the Utah website if you guys want it or whatever. But why are goals such a driving force? Everything that you see around you started as an idea in the mind of someone and became a goal, which became what? A reality. Brian Tracy, the great author and motivational speaker, put it this way. Your ability to set goals is a master skill of success. If you're brand new in the business and you don't have a goal written down yet, write your goals down. It's amazing what happens when you actually, it's important to understand, you're locked into this universal consciousness whether you believe it or not. I mean, have you ever been to the point where somebody called you on the phone and said, "That's my mom"? It was your mother when you picked it up, or the kids, or whatever. So we have that sixth sense. Women are better at it than guys, okay? But that's what a goal is. I mean, when you can write down your goals, your subconscious sees it, and guess what? Your subconscious will work on it while you're sleeping. Understand it for what it is and use that power, okay? Goals do two things very well. Goals unlock your positive mind, and they release ideas and energy for goal attainment, okay? Goals keep you focused. Without goals, you simply drift on the current life, no direction. With goals, you fly like an arrow, straight and true. Consider the goal-seeking ability of the homing pigeon. The only other creature on earth with this incredible cybernetic goal-seeking function is us, you know, man. That's it. That's it. With humans, the cybernetic power has one additional benefit. When you are absolutely clear about your goal, you don't even have to know. This is the cool part. You really don't even have to know where it is or how it is to be achieved. It flat out works. It's powerful. It's unbelievable. By simply deciding what you want, you'll begin to move towards your goal, and your goal will move towards you. Good stuff. I'm telling you, this is amazing. When I saw this, I said, yeah, right. Well, guess what? I was in this is a long time ago, 1992. I was in a class that, what's the guy? Proctor. Anybody know? Bob Proctor. He says, write out your goals and mail it to me. Mail one to yourself. It was pretty awesome. One of my goals was to make $25,000 a year, you know? And guess what? It took me a while, but 6 years later, I hit $25,000 a month. I hit that $25,000 a month. Didn't last but a couple of months, but still got me there. You know what I mean? It's amazing what happens. Don't know how it happened. But exactly the right time and place, the two will meet. Seriously. The master computer of the human mind is programmed by goals. Once you have decided what you want, forces in the universe will conspire to make it happen. You know that one. Whatever you impress will be expressed. Whatever you think about continuously emerges as your reality. Good stuff, huh? You become what you think about most of the time. You become what you think about most of the time. Proverbs says, as a man thinketh, what? So he is. So in 53, this study was done. Graduating seniors in 1953, they discovered that only 3% had taken all the necessary steps to set their goals. They decided exactly what they wanted and wrote it down. They spelled out what they wanted to reach these goals. They listed the obstacles to overcome on the way. They identified the people, the groups, and organizations they had to work with in order to reach their goals. They identified what they needed to know to reach their goals, and they developed a plan of action. Now, they put a date on when they expected to achieve it. Here's what researchers found, okay? Only 3% had taken all the steps. An additional 10% had taken 5 of the steps. But 87% of them, outside of stating what profession that they wanted to be, had set no goals at all. In 73, just 20 years later, they completed the study on the seniors in the two areas which they could measure, financial accomplishments and career accomplishments. The results were as follows. The 3% who had taken all the 7 steps had accomplished more and had a greater net worth than the 97% combined. Wow. That says volumes, doesn't it? So is it important to write down your goals? Got to do it. It's part of your business plan. If you don't have a business plan, you don't have a plan, right? You do have a plan. You have a plan to fail, okay, if you don't write it down, all right? The evidence is clear. You must have goals. 6 steps of goal setting. And I'll give this to George to put on Utah Thiel if you want it. Everything's got to be written down. It has to be specific. There has to be a time element attached to it. You must have a plan. There is a price to pay. You'll have to give something up. Guess what? We all have stuff to give up. We have stuff that doesn't benefit us. You know, I gave up television for 2 years. You know, what the heck? Didn't pay me a dime to watch some silly program, did it? You must look at your goals every single day and tap into the power of the 3%. Here's how. Goals layout sheet. I'm send this over to him. I didn't have time to get this printed out. I apologize. And this is really simple. It's just a format that you can fill out on your own, okay? I'm sorry I don't have it for you guys to take home with you, but it is what it is. But I'll make sure that it goes on the site, and that way you can download it and just print it out, okay? So my goals layout sheet says the same thing. I mean, when I wrote this was a long time ago, it goes like this. I will do 3 personal exposures a day, 6 days a week with a third-party tool. And guess what? I did that my very first year, all right? So can you. Anybody can do that, okay? It's not that difficult. I will effectively follow up with each prospect generated by my personal exposures by contacting them by phone within a 24 to 48-hour period, and I will be persistent, okay? I will aggressively work my personal warm market list, following up with tools, 3-way calls, and call with my upline. These are all basics, aren't they? I will mail out 1 long-distance package, basically, every single week. And after exposure and follow-ups, I will make myself available to provide full presentations in the forms of sit-downs, PBRs, lunches, and briefings daily and weekends. When? The above goal is part of a long-term goal of continuous performance club qualifications, getting the $500 a month car bonus check and a comfortable monthly income, which I will complete by the end of what? This one says January 10, 2014, when I'll get my first performance club check. We broke that out with one of my brand new people, okay? And they got their first performance club check last month, actually. Pretty cool, isn't it? It's simple to do, but it's also simple what? And that's one of the challenges that we all have, okay? We do get distracted, and don't get distracted, I'm telling you. It won't serve you well. You're in the wrong business to let distractions distract you. Okay? That's the end of that. I'm going to close it out. You know, I know that after being in the business for 17 and a half years, you know, almost 18 years, I've been extremely well blessed. I have a beautiful family. I have the time freedom to do the things that I want to do, when I want to do it, where I want to do it. I get to go on vacations with my friends like Mr. Hughes and George and Paula. Hey, and a lot of other people that are involved with our company, you know. And there's no other blessing that's greater in this entire world, I don't think, than being with your friends and your family, doing fun stuff together. And part of that fun stuff together is not only experiencing maybe vacations that we go on, but it's experiencing the progress that we all get to accomplish in working with this great business, okay? Absolutely awesome, phenomenal. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys again. God bless all of you, and thanks for letting me share my story with you. Good stuff, huh? Good stuff. All right.